Welcome to the Start Empire Wire Founders Podcast, where we make entrepreneurial founders a top priority. Each episode features risk takers, business builders, community shapers, institutional and government supporters in our local startup ecosystem. Tune in weekly to hear all about what's happening with the movers and the shakers of Southern California's Inland Empire and beyond. Back to another episode of the Founders Podcast. Today, I am with a very good friend, Florin Diuma. And Florin is the entrepreneur who is behind the course Bright Business. I can give him a great long introduction, but really, I'm just going to open it up right now. I'm going to let Florin tell us a little bit about himself. And the very first question we have for you is just, who are you, Florin? Where did you grow up? And, you know, what led you to the place where you wanted to become an entrepreneur?
Yeah. Well, thank you for the question. And I'm going to start with the story behind the project. So, first of all, Bright Business is a little bit more complex project. It's not limited only to a business learning program. Mm-hmm. It's leaning more towards to a movement. When you try to kind of educate people and empower people towards to a purpose-driven business, so we want to educate people to move from, to switch the business paradigm from for profit only to for purpose. So how I end up here, first of all. So now let's go to my story behind the business. I was born back in Romania in 1971, long time ago. And back then, I think I started my first business, if I can say, at age 8, 9, when I started making my own money recycling empty bottles. With that money, I was buying comics and Hot Wheels and all kind of toys, and I was using that little money from recycling, building my comics and my toy business. So I was pretty well known in my neighborhood for having the biggest collection of whatever.
Nice.
Yeah. But that helped me to be all of financially independent from early ages. But my real business I started when I was 19, when Romania shifted from being a socialist to being being a capitalist, being switching from whatever, socialist democracy.
Okay.
Market. Yeah, so I started my first business. I failed twice in the first year. And in 2021, I started a remodeling company back in Romania. And 23, I think I had like 40 employees. Nice. And that was my first turning point when I was trying to scale. And I had 40 employees. And I was trying to scale from residential remodeling to commercial remodeling. And I am...
Okay, wait. So let's just clarify. You said modeling. I think about models... people in front of a camera, but you were modeling residential homes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, I just want to clarify that for our listeners. So you were setting up models within residential homes?
Yeah. So I wanted to scale to a commercial remodeling. So now I want to remodel hotels mostly and commercial buildings.
Yes.
And I thought this simple. It's just another step. It's like part of linear thinking. But then it took me a year, in fact, to figure out it's not. I have to change the entire thinking, the entire business strategy. Mm. Mm. So that was the moment when I started building what I call today 2x2 design thinking matrix.
2x2 design thinking.
Yep.
Okay.
And I started understanding and asking myself why I'm here. So I asked myself three whys. Why I end up at this point? Mm. Why I want to move? And why overall I'm into this? So first of all, I had to understand what is the purpose of, what is the passion back then?
Okay.
I love everything design. Mm-hmm. I end up in that turning point to scale because I had enough financial resources. I had the team. Mm. And I was kind of, let's say, bored. I had enough home remodeling. So I was looking for a bigger challenge. So to do so, I had to design, to picture the future state, where I wanted to be.
Yes.
So from here, I started building an entire business strategy. Back then, without knowing all this design thinking and system thinking, I treat business as an engine. So I was looking at each component, what should be adjusted.
Like an engine.
Improve.
Okay.
Exactly.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So then I took each component and my business, and this is, I think, is every businesses are kind of the same. Every business has its own engine. And most of the businesses have this kind of the same components. So my problem was the communication. So I was talking, I was missing the right, I was talking to the right people. So I sent in the wrong message to the wrong people. So I did but helped me to understand. So everything was fine because of this, this system thinking. I was able to build a successful business.
Yes.
And invest in real estate, back in my 20s. And one more thing I learned, and this is connected to inner leadership. Today in my program, I talk a lot about inner leadership.
Okay.
This is connected with what I did back in my 20s again, when I had enough resources, financial resources to travel, but I choose to travel in very little bit unusual way. So I call it, even now I call it blind traveling. So
blind
traveling. Blind, yeah, completely blind. So I used to buy tickets to unknown places from Asia to South America, Central America, without having any idea where I'm gonna stay, what I'm gonna do. So the idea for me wasn't about exploring and marking. I didn't have a bucket list. Even today, I don't have a bucket list. I have to see that particular places, just to experience life. And because of that, I have been face to face in pretty challenging situations. This helped me to kind of manage my life. And that's probably my I didn't have in my life a mentor, but the lessons I learned because of this way of traveling helped me to kind of evolve as a individual and to see people in different cultures, in different environments, different countries, completely different from one trip to another. Made me to be more, to have a more holistic approach to when it's coming to people, not to have any biases, and all the same, no matter the color, no matter who, the people are good and bad. And later on, because I decided to come to the States, going back to my 20s, late 20s.
Yes.
But before that, I had an accident. That is probably the turning point of my entire business entrepreneurship. So for business, because until my late 20s, I was all about profit, for-profit kind of business. So I designed this method and helped me to always, with minimal resources, to reach my goals very easy. So I had pretty smooth scaling process in my business. But the late 20s, I had an accident. And I had NDE experience. Yeah, called NDE.
ND, what is near death experience, NDE. Okay.
Yeah. So I had that bouncing, I guess, right? Bang, guys. So I, no voices, no nothing, just, probably I had that inner peace. I found that.
Yes.
Which was for me kind of a turning point, and I didn't understand till few years ago. I was kind of, in fact, behind all this. So I understood at that point I was looking for completely different things in life. I was looking for that, that peace. I call it state of when you have that, it's not happiness. I don't believe in happiness because happiness is coming with unhappiness, right?
Right.
And I was trying now to use all my my resources and try to educate people about that, those feelings I experienced.
Yes.
But without saying anything about that. So I was trying to all the time to keep it on the side.
Okay.
Yeah. So meantime, I was trying to validate things I like. I invest a good amount of money in a nonprofit
Okay.
Back in Romania again, trying to elevate the quality of life in the community. So I understood.
Yes.
I understood one simple thing. We're not going to take anything with us. And you are not rich unless the people around you are not rich either.
So yeah.
We all should try. We should shift from that me having more, me, to we.
To we, yeah. Yeah. So, in a sense, this near-death experience awakens you to purpose-driven entrepreneurship.
Correct.
And you weren't fully aware of it at the moment.
Yeah, correct.
And then you started investing into this nonprofit organization.
Yeah,
which was had the goal. You were trying to fill this void of purpose or something, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And then,
yep.
So going from that point where you're contributing to the nonprofit in your country, and you're trying to raise the quality of living for everyone around you, like a rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah, in my community.
In your community. Yeah. So the people who are around you, you want everyone to succeed. You're looking at them. You're saying, hey, I want to see everybody else succeed. If I'm succeeding, how can I help other people succeed, right?
Yep. We are looking for a factor of influence. So back then I was trying to look for a community, to build a community of what I call it today, a bright entrepreneurs.
But okay.
That moment, that experience, I'm not talking about...
not the near-death experience.
No. It's okay. That was just one moment. We all good. This is not really something I talk too much about.
Right.
Until now, I just keep it for myself.
It's powerful to know it, though. It's powerful to understand that background.
Yeah. No, for me, it was a challenging to face it, to understand. Okay, this happened. Okay, just take it as is. And any kind of distortion of perception of the reality, probably it is impacted by that experience, right?
Yeah.
Because I cannot see things by profit only. So should be some values. Maybe sometimes I cannot express even my own feelings, my judgment might be a little bit twisted,
right?
Because I know different way of seeing or understanding the what we call reality.
Right.
Anyway, so I validate back then. I was thinking back then, the well-educated people, they are the force of change, the good force of change in the community.
Yes.
So that was the turning point, a lesson I have learned. Educated people, they're not exactly super wise people. Being educated, I understand the difference between being educated and being wise.
Yes, okay.
Huge difference, right? And later on, I understood only entrepreneurs have the capacity to make a real change in our reality. And for good, for better.
Because and why did you come to that conclusion?
Right. Because only entrepreneurs, if they have a vision, they can translate in actions. Most of the well-educated people, let's say teachers, no matter what level, they talk, they transfer information, but they do not have the practice, and they do not have the courage, as entrepreneurs have, to jump and do something. Sometimes entrepreneurs have more than just the courage, they have the enthusiasm, way too much enthusiasm, they jump on the other side. They jump in the business, outside the business. But so far, they have the drives and they're willing to do something. You can talk about swimming all day long near to the swimming pool, but only few people have the drive to jump in a swimming pool and start swimming.
The Inland Empire startup ecosystem industry is tremendously fragmented. A few top-tier hubs, San Francisco, Los Angeles, and San Diego, are well covered by media, events, and data platforms. Finding reliable information relevant to startups or the tech industry in the Inland Empire is extremely difficult. As a result, startups can't scale fast enough. Investors are having a hard time finding the right deals, and corporates can't find the right companies to partner with for their innovation activities. Start Empire Wire, the leading Inland Empire startup publication, is providing the Inland Empire startup ecosystem with the most accurate, engaging business and financial data, events, and news. Our reach of entrepreneurs, C-level executives, angels, VC investors, startup employees, key management at innovative corporates, and big tech is the solution for your B2B or B2C needs. As we build out our platform, we're looking for partners. This is your opportunity to get in on the ground level. If you're looking to align yourself with the local and growing startup and tech ecosystem of the Inland Empire, we have created the platform to get your name noticed and the opportunity for you to grow the recognition of your brand. Contact us today for availability and pricing options. We look forward to our partnership with you. I know some teachers who may beg to differ with you on that, but I think I understand the essence of what you're saying, because some teachers may come and say, well, you know, every day when I'm talking to my students, they're empowered to take different action, and I have this influence, this level of influence. So how would you distinguish that?
Here's the difference. Should be a blend between wisdom. Wisdom coming from practice, your own practice, and education.
Okay.
Being an educated person is one thing, and being a wise person is completely different thing. But as an entrepreneur, you add to this balance, wisdom and education, you add the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. So you got the drive, you got the action, and you got the knowledge.
Knowledge and wisdom.
Yeah, so the wisdom is that knowledge in action, right? Is that what you're saying or no?
Okay.
So when you take the knowledge and you apply it, is that wisdom, or is wisdom something separately?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, wisdom is something, for me personally, wisdom is something coming from probably mistakes, from the lessons you have learned, from the things you did.
Get what you're saying. That experience. Ah, I see what you're saying. So how does that all fold into this community, the idea of being a bright entrepreneur? And tell us a little bit about, you know, how you got into that, because we want to move into what is a bright entrepreneur.
Yeah, good question. Thank you. So for almost 20 years, I was struggling to find the solution to my personal challenge, right? How to make, I'm not saying make the world a better place, how to make our reality a better place.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said earlier, I was hoping teachers, people very well educated, as an only hope. Then I understood, no, entrepreneurs are. Then I understood entrepreneurs that they're kind of trapped in one simple paradigm. I open a business, make some money, and I'm happy. That's it. And then the challenge was what if we educate entrepreneurs, because they do have the drive, they're willing to learn, because they did all kind of good and bad things, they have the wisdom, why not to place the purpose in the middle of the bright entrepreneurship thinking, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And I want to take it a little bit now a different way. I say like this, two kind of people, leaders and entrepreneurs on one side, which they can change our reality for good or bad. On the other side, we have followers and consumers,
mm-hmm.
and they cannot really make an impact in our reality, right?
Okay.
For different reasons, I don't know. So now, if you look at the leaders and entrepreneurs who can make an impact, now we can split this in two groups. One, which are kind of, I call them monkey mind entrepreneurial leaders. And they are driven by the fears and pleasures and all kind of other things bouncing in our brain.
Right.
On the other side, I look at the purpose-driven entrepreneurs, which have a very sharp focus, a different kind of a mindset, and they can make or they can take, they can use the business as an instrument to manifest the purpose, and they can build and look, use the purpose beyond the profit, beyond me. So here I split the business journey into two steps. First part of the journey is from me having to me being, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the second part of the business journey should be from me being more to way.
Okay.
Actually, at the very beginning, we need resources. We need to focus on building, thriving, and financially successful business. But shouldn't be limited only to me having more. Should be translated to me being more.
Being more. Point,
yep. Sometimes even when you start a business, when being more educated, being surrounded by the right people, it's all still part of the being more.
Yeah. So then from that part, you go into the we?
Yes.
Okay.
The second part, when you focus a lot on being more, you will understand we all are one.
Mm.
This is very attached to the principle of oneness.
Oneness, okay.
Yeah, I'm talking not only about the human species, about everything. So, from this perspective, bright entrepreneurs, they agree with this principle of oneness. We all are one.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at the business from this perspective, you should respect your customers, you should respect your community, you should respect the environment, without being regulated by any institution or any government.
So love your neighbors as you'd love yourself.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Love customers and the respect. In fact, it's not about love, because love is coming again with hate. I try to stay away from this always being good or bad, love and hate, being balanced and respect.
Yeah, I think a lot of people would probably identify with that. Love your neighbors as you love yourself. That's kind of a common thing. And so, you know, basically, if you're doing it to somebody else, you're doing it to yourself.
Correct.
I would argue to say if I am doing something bad to myself, then, you know, even though we don't want to acknowledge hate, I don't think that's it's a loving action toward myself, right?
Yeah, right. But again, it should be a balance, because we are not good or bad. Nature is not good or bad either.
Mm-hmm.
So we are part of nature. You know, when you start judging, oh, this is good or bad, you already start building biases. Anyway, so the challenge is to build a business from this perspective.
Mm. So as a bright entrepreneur, you're out there, you're not the monkey mind, you're out there with this purpose-driven business, and you move from, you know, building up yourself to where you're building up a community, or you're doing things for the good of we,
exactly.
Of all.
So, yeah, the business should impact in a good way the community, the environment, and the people around you. So at this point, how can I say, you shift from me to we, and you manifest that.
Well, and that's, yeah, and as a person who has been involved in leadership on different levels, I've been through leadership training and things like that. One of the books that, you know, has really influenced a lot of entrepreneurial leaders is one of those, is a book called The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, and by Stephen R. Covey. He talks about, we start life as a dependent, and then we have to learn to become independent. And then we move from being independent to the highest goal, which is interdependence. So a person who is not yet independent can't become interdependent, because they haven't learned to stand on their own two feet yet. But, you know, when you become that independent person, then you can start contributing to a greater whole, which is considered interdependence. That's what it reminds me of. And I've been through the Bright Business Wildemar course. If people don't know it, you are teaching these courses. Show us your book, what you got. Show us the curriculum. What is it?
This is not for sale kind of copy of the book. Just for training purposes. So we use all this methods, techniques we just talked in this.
And we're going to talk a little bit more about these too. So tell us how you came into systematizing all of the things you were learning. What was your journey of growing? You know, where did you start, and then what was the growth journey?
Yep. So in fact, we're going to continue our story, the one I just mm-hmm. I was looking for, I couldn't give up. So when I came to States, I started working on marketing, and I understood people have the same, because I love graphic design, anything design, I'm all in. So okay. When I came to States, I started this design/marketing agency, and working with companies here, I understood they do not have a business process. They do not have an understanding of what business model is. They do not have an understanding of what business system and business process. They have a product and they want to sell the product. And anyway, as a designer, I was making more money offering consulting and helping them to kind of define the business model, system, process.
Yes.
So this was one of the stages when I start connecting the dots. So I was thinking, okay, I want to build a community of right entrepreneurs who might have, which I want to have an impact in their community, and now we can scale to a global perspective, but having dots all over the place.
Yes.
In those communities, but I didn't know exactly how to nurture, how to build this community. And then I understood what is missing. An entrepreneur should be educated, should have all the tools to build a thriving business, right? Financially thriving business, but in the same time to add that purpose at the core of the business model.
Okay.
So then, using my experience as a marketer, I start defining what a coherent and comprehensive business training needs to have.
Yes.
And I was looking at two things. You can look at each business model, the components of each business system, in fact, right? How the production flow, the price, the resources, and you want to improve all this. But I understood is a missing, we're working with my own business, is a missing a method.
Okay.
To go. That's why I'm going back to that 2x2 design thinking matrix. So you take this framework, place it at that particular topic of your business or a business components, and you start working. Okay, I'm here because I have this business challenge, and I want to be in the future state. I want to improve that and bring it to that place. And the question is how? And then to design an action plan is to ask what I have to do. And in order to act coherent in this and not to waste your even resources as a time trying to understand, you should, this is design thinking now, you should put in the middle of this matrix the who. Most of the time when you talk about design thinking, we talk about customers. But for example, if you have in a particular department in your company, you have some issues, that user or that particular person or stakeholder is now in the middle of the matrix, and you're trying to see what is going on. So now, not only to improve a particular topic of your business, but now you're gonna improve the quality of the team players. I try to avoid to say employees. And even further, this program help you because you use I call the power of purpose. The program helps you to build that vision, mission, and values, and helps you to retain quality and to attract and retain quality team members.
Okay.
Now you have a mission.
So for those of you who are listening, Florin is describing a 2x2 design matrix that's a part of his course. And I'm not, you know, there's probably no better way to illustrate this for them to go on your website, right? What is your website again?
Brisness.com. It's kind of, is a blend between bright and business. BRISNESS.com.
Okay, we'll give that website again at the end, but I just want to let you know, if you're listening, because people are listening on this as well as watching the video. So sometimes I don't want to lose those listeners. So you started, okay, so you were in the graphic design business, you were working with clients, and then you realized they weren't systematizing what they were doing. So right. this helped you, you sat down and said, okay, I'm going to create these systems. And right. you include a bunch of startup methodology, like design thinking. You include, yep. it's similar to like Lean Six Sigma or like the Lean Startup. It falls right in that category. So if you're familiar with like the Lean Startup and that type of methodology, it's really cool. And when I first saw the course, I'm like, I'm very familiar with all of this stuff here. Yep. So tell us how you got, you know, all of the content together and created some of the unique concepts that you came up with.
Yeah, thank you for mentioning that, because for me it was a challenge at the beginning to differentiate, to have that unique selling proposition from a business canvas generation or lean yep. management. But one thing is missing in that. It's a huge, one other thing, but that is huge thing. But
okay.
Missing. The human factor.
The human factor.
The human factor. So we talk about how to create value, how to deliver the value, how to capture the value. Technically speaking, this is a perfect way of thinking business.
Okay.
But the human factor is missing in that, and the purpose is missing, which is should be core of any business model.
Okay.
So this again, lean canvas is still good for the old business paradigm for profit only.
Right. Okay.
And on the other side, small business owners cannot afford to things that complicated. They need simple tools.
Right.
I'm not saying a bright business model is very simple, but when you get it, the five questions, how to put in place, at least to have a sequence or a flow of questions, why, where, how, what, and who, I think it's pretty easy. And on the other side, it's not affordable. And about Sigma, with all the belts incorporated, are dedicated for complex project management.
Yeah.
And again, are not dedicated to small business owners. And for me, I'm now going back to purpose. For me, to achieve my goal, to build this community of purpose-driven entrepreneurs.
Yes.
My demographic, my target is pretty simple. Small business owners, because only they can have a genuine, truly purpose. Corporate world can mimic one.
Yes.
They can talk about purpose all day long, and CSR is okay to talk about. They might incorporate this as a marketing or a PR strategy.
Okay.
Yeah. But because they are attached to the shareholders and they are kind of...
Yeah, right.
Yeah, so they still have to balance this very tight game here, profit, and really be committed to this purpose. On the other side, small business owners, they have to differentiate on the market, and having a solid and strong and generally purpose attached to the business model will help them to position on the market and generate sales and be able to scale. Because small business owners, again, they have to innovate, they have to disrupt the market in order to move on.
And purpose acts as a fuel, right? you know, it'll fuel your endeavors. Yep. Once you clarify what is your purpose, you know, Simon Sinek wrote the book, Start With Why.
Exactly.
I was defining whys before he wrote the book. I mean, I'm sure a lot of business owners were doing that, but it was great for him to clarify that message as well. And so you've done several courses of the Bright Business. How many have you done? I was in your last cohort, and you had one previous to that, right? You started the city of Wildermore.
And we have a few more coming.
You have a few more coming. What are the next ones coming up, and where can people like start kind of understanding, you know, how to connect with you?
First of all, the best way is to connect on a website online, to send the emails if they want to connect this direct messages. Mm-hmm. Or they can join the program, I think, here in Wildermore. I don't think for sure. The program will start here in Wildermore, the Bright Business Wildermore 2, BBW2, okay, will start here on August 23rd. And with City of Riverside, we have one coming soon.
To be announced.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have how can we call it?
The date is not locked in. It's not locked in yet, huh?
We're working on that.
Okay, so tell us, Florin, two of your short-term goals. What are two short-term goals for what you're doing with Bright Business immediately, that in the next 2 months? Two short-term goals.
I want to connect with as many local governments and have cities or Chamber of Commerce and the other professional associations to have as many programs in place. I want to see many Bright Business programs and many Bright Business workshops running here in Southern California.
Okay.
Especially in Inland Empire.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we have listeners who are all over the Inland Empire. And so I'm pretty sure people who listen to this, if you're interested in bringing in a program for your business owners in the local ecosystem of your city, or, you know, even if it's, you know, so you're someone from the county, Florin comes highly recommended. He's already taught in the city of Wildermore. But also, Florin, give us the next short-term goal, and then I'm going to ask you some long-term goals.
Very short?
Yeah, short-term goal within the next 2 months. You want to connect with a bunch of cities and municipalities. What other short-term goal do you have for Bright Business?
Oh, good question. I want to move a little bit, one step ahead, and focus on movement right now. Mm. Because the goal of the program is to build a community of bright entrepreneurs. So this is the learning program is the first step in order to build that kind of mastermind group.
Or mastermind?
Monster, yeah.
A mastermind.
Or a think tank kind of thing.
Yeah. A think tank, okay.
Yeah. Because this, especially if you look nowadays, our reality is shifting kind of for bad. And we need people to balance.
Yes.
Everything is going kind of, I don't know, I'm not saying wrong.
It's a lot happening. It's a lot happening.
A lot of challenges. Yeah, a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And we need something, yeah. And that's why I think if we can meet or gather as many purpose-driven entrepreneurs will be great. This is my very short.
That's a good. So maybe there'll be some announcements coming out soon about some events that you're doing or something related to that mastermind, huh?
Yes, I would love to. Yeah, so I would love you to be part of this. I'd be very interested.
Absolutely. What about your long-term goals? Typically, 3 years, 5 years, and 10 years for Bright Business community, Bright Business in general.
Thank you. Yeah. So the idea is to extend this network of community. So right now we're working here. I'm saying we because I consider you being part of this.
Absolutely.
We still have, and I'm not alone. I'm still building some friends around this project, this movement, if I can say that. And the idea is long-term to build, to expand this, especially in Europe.
And, did you say Europe?
Yeah, Europe. So we want to expand from here to Europe as fast as possible.
You still have family back in Europe as well?
Yeah, not much, but still I have. But I'm telling you, my wife, she's from Ukraine, from Odessa. So pretty close to what is going on.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm pretty sure that's tough because there's a lot going on.
Yeah, we need a lot of people here, but people even back in Eastern Europe now, they need a lot of education. They need a lot of love. So we need to go to team up here, and I think we should bring what I call entrepreneurial missionaries.
I like that. I like that term.
Different way of missionaries. Yeah.
So you're out evangelizing entrepreneurship and teaching people how to become a bright business owner. That's cool.
Yep. Yeah, how to find and position the purpose of the core of the business model and make the world a better place.
I love it. Yeah. So what about 5 years? In 5 years, where do you see the Bright Business endeavor?
Okay, this is I don't know. I want to see the Bright entrepreneurs getting involved now even more. So circular economy is something close to my concept.
Okay.
And the donut economy, so those are concepts which are pretty close to me.
Okay.
The Kiss the Ground, that documentary, that book is pretty close. So I want to see Bright entrepreneurs now getting more involved or shifting from their business and getting more involved more in the community.
On different levels. Okay. That's really so good.
Yeah, because I think I'm not saying nothing bad about the people in the office and the bureaucrats, right? Mm-hmm. But I think they do need a fresh, how can I say, fresh blood
with
entrepreneurship mindset.
Like some inspiration or something, right?
Yeah, so we need more entrepreneurs in the offices, no matter what. Cities. Yeah.
Right.
In any country, I'm not saying here. Yeah,
right. In any country, as you mentioned, entrepreneurship is very empowering. It's so unique that just about I think just 10, 20 years ago, if you were an entrepreneur, you weren't considered the way you are today. Because today, if you're an entrepreneur, you're a rock star. You know, everyone loves you.
Yeah, you bring value into the community, but as long you had that paradigm shift for me, you can still today see a lot of greed here.
Yeah.
In the entrepreneurs' minds. So
true.
As long entrepreneurs can shift from me having more from the greed and shift from me to we.
Shift from me to we.
It's gonna be a completely different.
And they're bright. Those people are bright. Yeah. The people who do that are bright.
Yeah. So the perception is going to be completely different. And we need bright entrepreneurs, and we need bright-minded people.
I love it. I love the description of bright, and I think it makes so much sense. So in 10 years, where do you see Bright Business being in 10 years?
Yeah, this is a good question. So, I like bright entrepreneurship to be a way of thinking when it's coming to business. And now we're looking to entire a business paradigm. So now I challenge people to challenge the old business paradigm, where it's for profit only, right? Me having more and me happy because I have more, to shift to following the purpose, and that's gonna give more than happiness. It's gonna give meaningful life. So
yes.
I hope in 10 years plus, maybe not in my life, but at least we're going to change and save the entrepreneurship, the values of entrepreneurship, shifting the purpose, right? From having to the purpose from the prophet and purpose to be part of the prophet.
I love that. Can you think of any entrepreneurs who we may know of that are big name entrepreneurs that you would say, this person, I think they qualify as a bright entrepreneur in our world today?
Oh, good question. So looking at a little smaller scale, for example, I see one right here.
Oh, no, not me. Not you, not me. No cop outs. In general.
For me, it's a big challenge.
Yeah.
Because when you kind of start pointing, oh, this it is, this is not. Elon Musk, maybe one, I like he challenged the system, the world business paradigm. I like.
Well, I do.
I don't know how.
I mean, I think Elon Musk, his when he stated his intentions, about making human species multiplanetary. He wants to see the human race continue. Would that be considered bright?
Yeah, as long as he's not looking, how can I say? Yeah, this is to be as an entrepreneur, as a human being, we have this exploration in our genes, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we are in one book, Selfish Genes, right? I don't know who wrote
it. I've heard of that book. I've never read it, but I've heard of the Selfish. I think it's Richard Dawkins or something like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He's the one. I don't want to. Yeah. He said, we are nothing else but genetic vehicles, and our main mission is to replicate. So to do so,
replication.
Yeah, that's it. We are just. I use this when I talk about purpose. This is a very challenging statement. But I look at our human being as a species from this perspective now.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to do everything is possible to generate, to move on, right?
Right.
As a gene.
Yeah, keep our genes replicating.
Rolling. So probably from this one, everything maybe looks funny, maybe not, whatever he's doing. But I think has something to do with this. We don't this is subconscious. We don't sometimes know why we do things we do.
Mm.
We look kind of awkward when we do things. But yeah, he might be a bright entrepreneur. I think he cares about people. I don't think he's that greedy person. And so far I know about his biography. It was not all about me having more and always buying, trying to push
right.
all kind of. So he was very. He was. He had that bright mind. So all his
okay.
little money had invested and. Yeah.
Yeah. His purpose, from everything I understand, and I know. The conversation goes to Elon Musk. I mean, I'm a big fan of him. But I was just trying to qualify, bright entrepreneurs, who in our world could qualify as that? All of that to say, I really think people should understand the concept of what you're talking about with bright entrepreneurship. They should get into a bright entrepreneurship class because it's more than just what we've covered here. And the systems that you're teaching, they're so valuable.
Yeah, thank you. So we are not, this is, yeah, it's good to understand. This is not, sometimes when you talk about the bright on spirituality, you talk about motivational. So we do not really try to find a very rational way to move on and manifest the purpose without being a little bit, how can I say, super high, that's the state, right? We don't try. We try to move on very down.
Right.
Or thinkers.
Well, when you say super high, you mean like being super complex with the language?
No. High, super high energy, full of too much enthusiasm. And, sometimes when you go to the motivational speakers, you leave that place full of energy, which is going random, right?
Get it, yeah.
Like, well, you want to do, yeah. Being motivated sometimes is dangerous because you do things you cannot control.
I'm a very high energy person sometimes, as you know, yeah. Florin.
No, but it's out of control.
It is focused.
Yeah, that's it. The mindset is important.
True. Absolutely. So, Florin, I really appreciate you for coming on this interview. I love that people are going to get a chance to hear about this. This has been awesome. I went through the six-week class, right? Or was it 6 months? It went faster than I can remember. But it was great.
I was 6 classes and 4 months, I guess.
6 classes in 4 months every other week. I went through it. I was waking up every morning like 6:30 to go be a part of this class. I enjoyed it. Lots of great visuals. Honestly, I still feel like there's so much more I need to pick up and learn that, you know, you have in the book. And can people purchase the book?
Yes, yeah, they can go online. They can search for Bright Business Model and they can purchase. Yeah,
it's on Amazon.com, right?
Yeah, on Amazon, on Google. So the good part is when you purchase the book, you send me an email and I'm going to put you on a waiting list for a free workshop.
Awesome.
Most of the, yeah.
Well, and we've been talking a little bit about somehow collaborating and getting this information out more. I honestly think this information could be broken down into one class per day for the entire year. It's so much information, ladies and gentlemen, and it's very valuable. So where can people find you at on the internet, Florin? Your social profiles. Yep. Where are you at socially? Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, all the places.
Correct. I'm most active mostly on LinkedIn.
Okay, and where do they find you? How do they find you? What's your address?
Just search my name or Brisness again.
Uh-huh.
Brisness and Florin, I guess. Florin, that's D-I-U-M-E-A.
Okay.
Yeah, but probably you're going to add all these details in the description, and I'll be more than happy if they are, because most of our friends now, which
yes,
are watching the podcast, they're located in England. So they can join the program, like I said, in Wildomar, or they can look for coming programs in their own city. And well, I'm asking for a favor. If you think this program is good for you, talk with, like I said, the local Chamber of Commerce, talk with the city, and we will find a way to, financially wise, I'm saying, we'll find a way to implement the program in your city or in your region.
Perfect. And is there a way that they can be able to virtually tune into some of these classes?
Yeah, right now I'm building up a waiting list.
Okay.
So I only have 15, 20 people ready for a program. Yeah, I would love to have one online.
Okay.
Because the goal is to kind of spread the word. After we have a few participants from here, from England, we want to spread the word around the world.
Yes.
In a more cosmopolitan kind of environment.
Awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Florin, Bright Business, thank you for tuning in again. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have not subscribed to the podcast, go ahead and click that subscribe button. We are on YouTube. We're on every major platform. If you're listening to us or watching us, go ahead and comment. Let us know. Reach out. info@StartEmpireWire or follow us at StartEmpireWire.com. Any of our social platforms. Thanks again for tuning in. Talk to you next time. Peace.
Okay. Peace. Take care.